Amen. Does anybody remember what I ministered on last week? Huh? There you go. The four steps of maturity. Amen. Four steps. Does anybody remember what they were? Hey, gosh, man. Come on. So they are saint, servant, shepherd, son. I bet you'll learn something today, not because I'm teaching it, but I bet you learned something today, amen? So I want you to get out your notepads, your iPads, your iPhones, your whatever, amen? Put a little title, if you didn't catch last week, some of you already have it. Put a little title, Four Steps of Maturity, or the four S's, amen? Hallelujah. So number one, we started out with saint, didn't we? What was the deal with saint? Yeah, you're saved. You didn't do anything except call out on Jesus and say, be my Lord and Savior. He did the work for us, praise God. Amen. How many knows that's just a step? That requires really no effort on your part. You just embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior. You become saved and you're a saint. And typically when we think of a saint, we think of somebody going to heaven. Amen. And I want you to get rid of that I'm just going to heaven mentality. Amen. Because there's way more for you to do than just to get to heaven. Amen. Some people think God's just going to come down here and do something great, miraculous, and all the church is just going to get on fire. And the truth is he's going to, but he's going to do it through you and I. That's how he chose to do it. We are the avenues, we are the vessels, we are the instruments that God has chosen to get his gospel out there. Amen. That's sometimes we wonder, you could ask Amy living with me. I don't know how God uses him, but he does because he. There's some things he doesn't do so well. Amen? And so that requires no effort. Does anybody know what kind of heart that we would typically say that a saint has? It has a holy heart. Amen? We're holy because he's holy, right? You can't be holy. You have to get connected to a holy God, a holy Savior, a Holy Spirit to get holy. Amen? We can't work our way into the kingdom, can we? Amen. And so I talked about with the saint, I talked about a couple of different types of righteousness. I talked about positional righteousness and practical righteousness, right? And positional, it's because Jesus did everything and he positioned me in, he grafted me in, he pulled me over into his kingdom, over into his blood through the sacrifice that he made. I don't do anything, right? But then practical righteousness, we got to walk it out, don't we? Then I have to begin to put off the old man, put on the new, right? I have to kind of begin to transition and change. It's from the inside out. God's done something to my heart on the inside, and so I begin to see that manifest on the outside. So I'm going to use Kevin, for example. I've been knowing Kevin a couple years, getting to know him better. But when I look at Kevin, I see a holy heart. I see a demonstration of godly character. And Brenda may be back there like, well, you don't live with him. But, I don't. You're right. But he exhibits that he has had a change of heart and that something is happening and it's manifesting on the outside, right? How many knows people are watching us? How many knows your kids are watching you, right? Amen. And so we move from a saint, and we start to grow, and we mature. Then we get over into becoming a what? A servant. Amen? A servant is a person who performs duties for others, especially a person employed in a house on domestic duties or as a personal attendant. Amen? This is a big step. This is a big step in becoming a servant. Because as a general rule, when we become a saint, we've got a lot of stuff that we got to deal with. We got a lot of ugly black stuff. We got a lot of issues with our heart. And how many know we got to get free from all that stuff? Amen? Hallelujah. I'm thankful that about 3.5 years ago, hearing a message by Jeremiah Johnson down in Bristol, Virginia, he preached in such a way that it grabbed my heart. And I began to look at my own self and I thought to myself, you're not fully free. Yes, I was pastoring. Yes, I was leading a ministry. I had founded a ministry, but I wasn't fully free. There was rejection issues in my heart. There was bitterness in my heart. There was a root of bitterness, and I had to take a deeper look at myself and ask God to reveal my own heart to me so that I could begin to get free from some of those things. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not a fun process. It's not an easy process, but it's necessary. Because truly, if you just jump on trying to serve and trying to do, you just grab a hold of a religious spirit and you're trying to get people free from stuff you're not free from. Oh, I'm preaching real good already from the get-go. Had to take up another. Hey, y'all guys get the bucket and get the offering going again. Amen. We never get past that self-serving attitude. And you see people, they just constantly, you know, help me, do for me, get me free from this, get me free from that. And I can't get you, I've tried that before, I cannot get you free from those things. Only you can submit to God and get free from those things. But first, you know, if you've ever dealt with addiction before, first you got to admit that you got an addiction problem. You got a problem. But most people don't want to look at that. They get that whole mentality, I'm going to work for God and I don't have any issues, everybody around me has issues. You got to get free from that stuff. You got to get free from that religious stuff. I'm telling you, I was serving God and thought I was on fire and I was full of religion. Because I wouldn't get real because I would stand behind the podium and I'd point a finger at everybody else. Didn't realize there was three more pointing right back at me. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost was pointing right at me. You need to get free, son. Amen. And so we get into this servant mentality. And so a servant has what kind of heart when you think of a servant? If I think of Kevin, I think of what kind of heart? A humble heart. Humility. Man, and I've got a long way to go, but when I first got started, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips, and God had to humble me. It wasn't a fun process. It's not fun getting down low because you have to kind of die to self. You have to die to the flesh. Amen. And so that servant will have a servant's heart. Excuse me. Hey, duties of a servant. They put the needs of others first. Amen. I'm not talking about your family, which we need to be serving there as well. I know moms are good at that, but that doesn't mean they can serve in the house of God. Come on. Dads, maybe we work hard, but that doesn't mean that we are serving in the house of God. You have to be willing to put sister so-and-so, who maybe is giving you a hard time, or brother so-and-so, who just kind of really just sort of snubs you every time you go to greet them, but you still have to be willing to serve them. You have to humble yourself and serve them. Amen? They transfer as much authority to others as possible. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got some young people just sending some leadership videos in and going to do some other things, but I am trying to pour myself into others. Dr. John pours himself into me. Amen? And so that oil, who wants to get under the beard of Aaron? Who wants to get under Aaron's beard? I don't have one. I see something, you know, Steve's done grew one out. I can't really grow a beard. I just quit trying, you know. I look scruffy. But how many wants to get under Aaron's beard and let that oil drip down? It drips down. The anointing doesn't flow up. The anointing flows down. Amen. I don't know about you. I want all I can get from those that I'm supposed to receive from. Amen. So they pour into others. Number three, they seek the growth of others to their maximum potential. In other words, I don't want to just get you up so far so you can be my hireling. Amen. I want you to grow all the way up. I want you to go past. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to go past where I am. I want you to do greater than what I am doing. That is my heart. Amen. That's what true servants do. Amen. Quick recap. I know I was talking fast, but we got to get into the meat and potatoes of the message, and we got to finish this up. Amen. Number three, shepherd. Number three, shepherd. So you go from a saint, you go through this process of being humbled, and you become a servant. I want to serve in the house of God. I want to be a doer of God's word, and then I become a shepherd. Now, usually when I say that, most people think, I'm not called to pastor this church. I'm not called to pastor, so why would I be a shepherd? Why would I want a shepherd's heart? Here's the thing you have to understand. What I am talking about today has nothing to do with giving you a title. We're talking about creating a heart in you. It's a matter of heart. We're doing something about your heart. It's not about a title. The fivefold came to the forefront the last 5 or 10 years. Fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and pastor. And people went nuts over titles. Oh, that's my apostle. He's a prophet, and you know, there's a great evangelist. That's not signs of maturity, and that shouldn't be the goal that you're searching for. The goal is to have something done on the inside of you and done something to your heart. I want a saint's heart. I want a servant's heart. I want a shepherd's heart. I want a son's heart. The ultimate goal that you're shooting for is to become a son and daughter in Christ. I want to be mature. See, we thought, you call me son? Like when I was in school, if you wanted to cut somebody down, you said, what's up, son? You was cutting them down. You was calling them a son. You was saying, you're below me. But in the kingdom of God, things are reversed, aren't they? And the greatest that you can become is a son. Amen? My son, Logan, has to do a lot of things, but the bottom line is he's fully submitted to me as his dad. Amen? And sometimes we think getting to the top, you know, having great ministry, bossing other people around, yada, 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 we think that's arriving in the kingdom of God. We say, boy, I want to become an apostle, and we act like that you just become to the top and everybody serves you, but that's not leadership in the kingdom of God. Leadership is flipped upside down. It's not like secular leadership. Leadership in the kingdom of God is flipped upside down. Jesus was the greatest leader. He was a servant leader. He served everyone else. He was our great high priest and apostle, our first apostle, and he was the servant to all. You want to become an apostle? You don't even know what you're getting in for. Because if you ask God to make you one and take you somewhere like that, you don't know what you're bargaining for. You're getting ready to get kicked on, stepped on, spit on. You're getting ready to get used and abused. If that's what you're wanting to become, you become chief servant of all. I put a post probably 2 months ago on my Facebook that it's, let's say we all get in heaven and God says, hey, apostle, millions of men and women are going to turn around and say, yeah. It runs deeper than being an apostle or part of the fivefold. Amen. I want him to say, hey, son, yeah, dad, I'm coming. He has a name for you. It's personal and it's intimate. Stop trying to be some kind of position, worship leader, prayer warrior, you know, intercessory prayer. You know, quit trying to be that. Focus on becoming a son or a daughter. It's something that's happening to your heart. So to be a shepherd, it doesn't mean that you're just going to shepherd over a whole entire flock. Maybe it's one. But that heart has been created in you. All right? Let's give a definition of shepherd. You ready? A person who herds, tends, and guards sheep. Amen? I'm a shepherd of my home. I look over my wife. I tend to my wife and my children. They're my sheep. They're my flock, dads, moms. Yeah. What's one problem we've got right now? We don't have good shepherds at home. And we send them to school and we want them shepherded. We send them to church and we want somebody to shepherd them, but we don't want to shepherd them ourselves. And don't expect somebody to do something you're supposed to do. Number two, a person who protects, guides, or watches over a person, somebody say person, or a group of people. Yeah. Someone who does the same thing, but this definition says, hey, this shepherd can watch over a person or a group of people. Doesn't mean we lord over anybody, because serving as a shepherd, a servant leader, is not lording over anybody and telling somebody what to do. I had a few phone calls I had to take care of, and I wanted to watch football yesterday, but I had to work yesterday. And people were calling me from down war. I was getting calls from other different places. And I think to myself, being the end all or being the top guy is not what everybody thinks it's about. It's work. You're tending to people. You're serving people. You're shepherding people and situations. Amen? Now, I'm kind of throwing this. Can you get scripture up? Let's turn to John. Chapter 10, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. John 10, 11 through 18. And I'm going to read some scriptures. I'm not even sure what version I got up, but it doesn't matter. You can put King James or New King James if you want to, Gabe. Amen. Are we ready to learn? Are we ready to grow? Amen. You're coming out. Whether you're a saint, you're going to become a servant. If you're a servant, you're going to become a shepherd. If you're a shepherd, you're going to become a son. You're growing. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is Jesus speaking, of course, and he says, I'm the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Say good shepherd.
Good shepherd.
Thank God. The good shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. So we already see, hey, I'm going to put you in front no matter what. Isn't it something we think we cannot do? We think we can't go? But Jesus, they cussed him, they blasphemed him, they spit on him, they beat him, they abused him, and he said, look, I'm still going to lay my life down for you. Could you imagine being hanging on the cross, looking through the annals of time, looking through eternity, and seeing all the people that was maybe giving him the middle finger, saying, I'll never accept that. But him saying, I'm going to do it anyway. Did you hear me? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do what I don't necessarily want to do. Amen? We're starting to tap into a shepherd's heart. It says, but the hired man who merely serves for wages, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he deserts the flock and runs away, and the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. You have to understand something about Jesus speaking here when he gives the parable of the good shepherd. From Old Testament all the way through, they used natural occurrences to describe spiritual instances. Now, if you're a city slicker, you won't understand any of this stuff. There's a book that I am currently reading and studying. It's called Psalm 23, A Shepherd Looks At It. A Shepherd Looks At It. I would encourage you, it's a little book, it's not big at all. I would encourage you to get that book, very inexpensive. What'd you get it for, $2, $3? It's a little paperback. But this guy was a true shepherd over sheep for many years, and he begins to talk about how it's in the natural, it's the same way spiritual. How you would operate out in the pasture is the same way that you could operate in the house of God. So we're talking about actual sheep here. We're talking about those hirelings. And so maybe you're here and you say, well, I feel like I should be able to do this or I should be able to do that. But if those that are in charge of your souls don't see that attribute of being a true shepherd, then it would be a mess because you wouldn't look after the people the way that you're supposed to. I'm not taking shots at any church, any denomination. You can say, yeah, you're thinking of somebody. I'm not. But the problem is, in the church, in the house of God now, we have more hirelings than we do true shepherds. A true shepherd would probably tell you, I would rather be doing something else, but this is what God's called me to do, and I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to look over these people. I've been entrusted to look over these people. Whereas a hireling, he's just going to just let them go to the wolves. Amen? It says, the man runs because he's a hired hand who serves only for wages and is not concerned about the safety of the sheep. You see, when you step over into sonship from this area, you'll have somebody who's looking at you and saying, you don't need to do that. The flesh is going to say, I'm grown. Who are you to tell me what to do? But a true shepherd is going to look at you and say, as a son and a daughter, don't do this because I've got your best interest at heart. I'm looking out for you. He says, I'm the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are my own, and my own know me and have a deep personal relationship with me. Jesus is taking it even further, isn't he? He's talking about you being a sheep, but he's talking about, hey, I'm the shepherd, and this is how I know that I'm a shepherd. It's because I form deep personal relationships with people. I get personal with people. Amen. I spend time with them. But if you look on your TV, and I'm not saying every one of them, but or if you see a strong public figure that's a minister, it's all about them. And the relationships they have with people are about a half inch deep. Amen. Because I'm more interested in your wages than I am anything. But you have to spend time to get to know somebody on an intimate level. Amen. I have other sheep beside these that are not of this fold. I must bring those also, and they will listen to my voice and pay attention to my call, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Oh, hallelujah. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life so that I may take it back. Oh, man, we see a true shepherd's heart here, right? No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down voluntarily. I am authorized and have power to lay it down and to give it up, and I'm authorized and have power to take it back. This command I have received from my Father. Amen? Four characteristics of a servant, of a shepherd, I'm sorry. Four characteristics of a shepherd. Are you ready? They will sacrifice his or her life for others. Whereas we see in the servant, they put others first. But a shepherd says, I'll give my life so that you can have life. I'm willing to sacrifice my own life. I didn't know what I was getting into when I got into ministry. I just knew that I was called. But when the phone calls came at 2 in the morning, I had to sacrifice my life for theirs. When the trip in the midnight hour had to go to the hospital or whatever, I had to sacrifice my life for theirs. I have to be giving. I have to say, it's all about you. It's not about me. Number 2, they are loyal. Oh, hallelujah. I spoke about this last week. There's something missing in the body of Christ. It's loyalty. A little over a year ago, when Dr. John got ready to introduce me to preach to all of his RFI affiliates at that conference up in Fairmont, he said something very profound, and he said, I haven't known him but a year, but I would trust him with my back. I thought, wow, did he just say that? That's coming from a Purple Heart. That's coming from a Vietnam vet. That he would trust me to have his back. But what he was saying is, I already see in you that you would be loyal to me. I've already had people that have know that I know John, and they go to say something about him. I'm like, uh-uh. No. Amen? Do you protect that way? Are you loyal that way? Because I see people they're good with this crowd, then they get over in this crowd, when they bash him over there, they're like, yeah, I know, man, they garbage, they trash. You know? Where's your loyalty at? Where does your loyalties lie? We have to be loyal to God before we can be loyal to others. Amen? They're loyal. Number 3, they are a servant. I said that last week, didn't I? We got to move our way up through the ranks. We have to grow, don't we? We have to grow from a saint into a servant, and from a servant into a shepherd, and from a shepherd into a son. We have to be willing to grow. I'm going to throw a little Maxwell out here at you this morning, John Maxwell, and that is this. You don't just grow by chance. You have to be intentional about your growth. Now, when you first get saved, there are things that the Holy Spirit is going to do that are just going to come natural. But when you really want to grow as a child of God, when you really want to grow as a leader, you have to be intentional about your growth. It doesn't just happen. I can promise you think it does. It does not just happen. Amen? That's why some of us are of old age, and I'm not saying you guys, but you see people that are of old age, but they're no more mature than a man in the moon. Because they were just going to be Pentecostal and think the Spirit was just going to make them mature. You got to be intentional, partner with the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to mature you. That's how it works. Amen. Number 4. A shepherd knows God, knows the people, and the people know him. Come on. I know lots of shepherds that don't know God. Do you know that there's a statistic that says that 5% of pastors actually pray through the week? Well, how can you know God if you don't pray? Right? There's a facet that, yes, I have to read the Word of God. I begin to know the character, the hesed and the chesed of God. But if I don't spend time with Him, I don't really know Him. I could write a book. You could read the book and say, man, I picked up some things about Sean. Read that book. But that doesn't mean you have a relationship with me. Amen? They know the people. You get to know people. When we merged, maybe you were saying, nobody's really spoke to me. Well, did you speak to anybody? Did you show maturity and get to know people? Uh-oh. Maybe that might be pointing to some things, right? And the people know them. If you've got kids, you ever said, you know, I don't have friends like so-and-so does, or, you know, I went to there and I didn't get to know anybody, but the Bible says one with friends must show themselves friendly. You want people to know you here? Well, get off your carcass and go get to know somebody. Was that too hard? I'm trying to be really nice this morning. I'm good cop. Amen. Right? And so if you're not willing to step out of your comfort zone, if you're not willing to be that mature person, then you're just simply not in that place. Don't deceive yourself. Don't expect people to come to you. That drives me nuts. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to park myself here. People need to come. Oh, they didn't. Nobody loves me here. Get up off your seat. Get to know somebody. So they sacrifice their lives for others. They're loyal. They're a servant. They've reached servanthood. And they know God. They know the people. And people know Him. I want you to turn to Matthew 9, verse 36. We'll give you some scripture today. Matthew 9, 36 through 38. Are we learning anything? Hallelujah. You getting it up there? Are we there? Give me an amen. Amen. It may not be up there, but you're looking on your own. It says, when he saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion and pity. Say compassion and pity. Man, that's something. He was moved with compassion and pity for them. Do you know how many people? Because God had been speaking to me for years, and he was like, I'm going to use you mightily for physical healings. And you know, I thought, man, I'll just use that and people will get healed. But there was something he hadn't done in me yet. He hadn't given me compassion. Amen? Blessed are those that mourn. Oh, man, what are they mourning over? Woo! What are they mourning over? Hallelujah. Whew, man. I'm going to Sierra Leone in November and preach to Muslims. Big crowds. I'm going to preach to Muslims and I don't even know them. But when I've been praying and interceding for souls to be saved, I just weep. I don't know. And as a matter of fact, some of them will try and put voodoo on me. Yeah. I'm sure of it. I don't know them. Oh, but just the thought. As a shepherd, just the thought that they might die and go to hell. It shakes me to my core. I can't stand the thought. It burns on the... Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I think about it and I can't go back to sleep. Just the thoughts of somebody going to hell. I can't stand it. I don't care that I know them. It doesn't matter. He had compassion. Come on. It says, because they were dispirited and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is indeed plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Amen? Yeah. All right. Write this down. The shepherd's heart is a caring heart. We go from a holy heart to a humble heart to a caring heart. It goes in succession. Number two, write this down. I'm not beating anybody up, but many Christians don't have a shepherd's heart. If you have a self-serving spirit and it's all about you, you'll never have a caring heart. Because all you do is care about you. Now, I'm going to give you a third point. This is good. Because I'm going to try to clear some things up in your own mind. The servant's heart is characteristic of a deacon. If you grew up Baptist, you have the wrong view of a deacon. Because if you grew up Baptist, that deacon told the preacher what to do. That's not how it goes. Amen. I am open to any suggestions. The eldership, me, Doyle, myself, Ron and Kevin are open up to any suggestions. It would be stupid if we didn't, but you're not going to tell us what to do. Well, that was arrogant. I'm sorry, that's just how it works. A deacon is a servant. You're here to serve. You don't tell everybody what to do. You serve. A deacon has a servant's heart. The shepherd heart is characteristic of an elder. I know some people say, well, I'm an elder in that church. I'm 70 years old. That don't mean you're an elder. It has nothing to do with age. I'm 43. Amen? I'm an elder. Oh, did I stump you a little bit? Are you kind of like, man, shooting daggers at me? Like, you jerk. I'm being realistic. A shepherd's heart as an elder is a mature person. You've grown into maturity. You care for people. You look after people. Not easily offended. Can endure hardship. And here's the thing. Not that God put all that hardship on you, but He'll put you through the ringer. He will allow you to go through the ringer. He will allow the enemy to bring trials and tribulations and temptations to get you to that point to create that shepherd's heart on the inside of you. But those that have been through much, woo, right? They love much. One of God's greatest shepherds that have ever walked the earth was King David. And boy, did he go through it. Didn't he? He went through it, but he loved his people. He went through everything that he had went through so that he could be a great lover of his people. Did you know that he's going to set his King David will rule again? Did you know that? Think about that. And why? Because he was a prophet or he was anointed or he had great leadership? No, because he had a heart after God. And God's heart's for you. And David's heart was for the people. Is anybody kind of picking up what's getting laid down here from the pulpit today? Do you see how you do great things for God? It's not about a position or a title, but it's grabbing a hold of God's heart and projecting it on the people. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to know that if you failed or messed up, that God doesn't want to kill you and He hasn't cast you away? I wouldn't be here if that was the case. You're talking about the guy that used to go outside and shake my fist at God and cuss Him. I mean, bad words. And I would, and still yet, He loved me. He didn't cast me away. And thankful for a man named Lawrence Hayes that drove over that night when I said, God's dealing with me. I want to give my heart to the Lord. Thank God for a shepherd that rode over. Oh, hallelujah. Man, I could tell you some stories. Praise God. But let's lay some foundation here. Let's really see what this is all about. Amen? All right. I'm about to close on this shepherd thing, and we're going to move on to a son. But first, I want you to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 3. 1 Peter 5, verse 1 through 3. Give me an amen. You there? Amen. Therefore, I strongly urge the elders among you, pastors, spiritual leaders of the church, as a fellow elder and as an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as one who shares in the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherds, and guide and protect the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not motivated for shameful gain, but with wholehearted enthusiasm. Not lording it over those assigned to your care. Do not be arrogant or overbearing, but be examples of Christian living to the flock. Set a pattern of integrity for your congregation. Amen. Peter gives us another glimpse into the heart of a shepherd, right? When sons and daughters begin to go through the maturing process, the progression will begin to develop by the Holy Spirit. It begins by the Holy Spirit. Amen? When that shepherd's heart is developed in a son or a daughter, you won't have to ask them to check on this person or that person because their heart is turned to the sheep. And they began to care for them by nature in a sacrificial manner, not regarding the cost. Amen. I would think, or I would see the great qualities of a leader, and I would think so-and-so would be a great shepherd and a great this or that. And then I would see people messages on Facebook, hey, missed you Sunday. I love you. Here if you need anything. Or I'd get a message, so-and-so reach out to me. I mean, do they do anything at the church? Well, it kind of looks like they got a shepherd's heart. They didn't have to be asked. They didn't have to be instructed. As they began to sacrificially take care of the sheep on their own, because that heart is being developed on the inside. You know, there are times we have to be led, but there's times that the Spirit does things on the inside of us, and then we begin to do them just out of instinct. You'll know that's when you start to become a shepherd. At the church that I was at before, you know, I was, and I'm glad he didn't, church of 300-400 people, I wasn't asked to preach, but I just started praying for people. I don't have to preach. I'll just pray for people. Then the next thing you know, I just started just checking on people. I just help Lawrence out. I check on people. I didn't have a title. But see, God had developed something on the inside of me that allowed me to be promoted to found into the like ministries. Because a shepherd's heart had been created on the inside of me. I love praying for people. I love spending time with people. I didn't have to be asked, hey, so-and-so wasn't there. Something must be wrong. Come on. I mean, I'll even look around this morning. Who's not here? Where are they at? You know, if I find out, hey, they're on a trip, good. You know, but if I got their legs chopped off, I want to be there. God forbid. I didn't speak that over anyone. Amen. And so we see before we could ever call ourselves a son or a daughter, and that's used loosely. You know, I have people coming, and I would even say, you know, Dad, you know, John told me last year. He said, I don't really consider you a spiritual son yet. What? Oh man, I got kind of cut on a little bit last year. Some of y'all wonder what happened to me. I'll tell you what happened to me. If you want to sit down and hear the whole conversation, I'll tell it to you. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy conversation. And I endured that. And I thought to myself, he may not consider me one, but I'll become one. I'll become one. And then it wasn't probably 6 months later, he come and kissed me on the side of the head, and he said, I love you, son. You're a son now. You know? Man, I felt like I was on top of the world. Felt like I got saved all over again. We ready? Saint, servant, shepherd. I'm going to close. This will be just a little bit. Don't get too antsy. Son. I'm a female. You're a daughter. So don't say, you don't have to say you're a son. Yeah. You're a daughter. Okay? Hallelujah. So anytime I say son, if you're a female, you say, no, I'm a daughter. That's right. Okay? I want to give you a definition of a son. A boy or a man in relation to either or both of his parents. Oh, hallelujah. Did you hear that? In relation to either or both of his parents. Now, do we have a mommy and a daddy in heaven? Well, technically. But he's Daddy God, isn't he? He's our Father in heaven, isn't he? Jesus called him the Father. He was his son. He did everything that God asked him to do. He was a son. Now don't walk out of here and say he just said that God was a woman. I'll probably take off the shepherd hat and choke you personally if you say that. I did not say that. But he's everything we need. Amen? He's Daddy God. I want to give you a synonym of a son, and that is heir. We are heirs and joint heirs. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We think, and we get saved. We get saved, we become a saint, and we think we just get everything automatically. Well, you do, but again, you got to go through the process to become that heir of some things. Come on. Hallelujah. Do you think I'm going to give everything to Logan right now? Well, no. You know, let's just say let's just say right now the ministry's even bigger than what it is, and a legacy's ready to be left. Am I going to give it to an 8-year-old boy? Huh? Am I going to entrust him with everything? No, I'm not. He's going to have to mature, isn't he? And we see all the time of people with really rich parents, and they get that stuff. They get the parent dies and they inherit all this stuff, and what do? They squander through it. Yeah. We look at the son, the prodigal son. You know, go ahead and give me mine. Yeah, I'll give it to you, but you ain't gonna do right with it. Yeah. You're not a true son. You're my son by birthright, but you haven't really walked into becoming an heir of everything that I've got. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You haven't earned that position to be an heir of everything that I've got. Because when you get it, you'll guard it. Amen? You'll prosper it. You'll do great things with it. So hopefully when I'm old and gone, and Logan and Lauren and Brianna come up to age, then they'll be of maturity to be the heirs of the legacy that I leave behind. Amen? I pray every day for my children to do greater things than I'll ever dream of doing. Than I'll ever dream of doing. Amen. John 14, 7 through 9. Let's look at some qualities and attributes. Let's look at being a son or a daughter, what that really means. Maybe you'll have a newfound respect. Are you taking notes? Are you learning? Jesus said this, "If you had really known me, you would have also known my Father. From now on you know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and then we'll be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you do not know me yet, Philip, nor recognize clearly who I am? Anyone who has seen me," oh, hallelujah, "has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Hallelujah. One of the greatest of many things that Jesus has done, the sacrifice that he has made, is to reveal the Father heart of God to you. The relationship with the Son exposes you to Daddy God. That's why people who have a poor view of their father, when they get to know Jesus and he begins to reveal to them who God really is, oh, he's a good father. He's a good daddy. I thought, you know, I was raised old school Pentecostal, and the thing that I was taught was, is if you messed up, you was going to get struck dead. Some unbeknownst evil was going to come get you. Come on, is anybody raised that way? I know that it was more than just me. God's going to get you. How many was told God was going to get you? Well, he's not going to get you. He's going to love you. He's going to love you to death. Amen? He's going to love you to death. You ready? The fourth characteristic of the mature believer, which becomes the son. What kind of heart? Holy. We've had a holy heart, right? We've had an humble heart. We've had a caring heart. And now when you become a son or a daughter, you get that loyal heart. It's developed in you as a shepherd. It starts to develop. And when you're in that level of being a shepherd, that loyal heart. Come on. Have you ever heard the expression of someone being loyal to a fault? Amen? Well, here's the thing. You can be loyal to God and those that he have put in your care to a fault, and it won't mess you up. It'll take you places you never could go before. Dr. John could open so many doors up for me if he wanted to. But that's not what our relationship is about. Amen? It's about me demonstrating a loyal heart. A loyal heart will take you anywhere. God's all about honor and integrity. Write this down. Loyalty is royalty in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm an heir. I'm a prince. We're kings and queens and all this. Well, I mean, if you're not operating like one, you're not. Huh? Loyalty's royalty. If you're a backbiter, a gossip, always undercutting people, you're not royalty. Ouch. Amen? When a son or daughter has been conformed to the image of Christ, they will be a representative person. When that loyal heart is created in a son or a daughter, they will be a representative person. Some of you are missing it because you're looking for something grand, but there's no greater honor than to represent someone else. They are able to represent someone other than themselves. They can represent. In other words, I should be representing John Polis before you. But let's take it a step further. I am representing Christ to you. I am representing God to you. There's no greater honor in the kingdom of God letting you represent Him. And a true father in the faith, there's no greater honor than for that individual to allow you to represent them. I have been preaching for 2 years now in John's church. I have now, the last 6 months, have been preaching in his churches, his affiliates. And I am astounded by something. Running into these people that are under him, spiritual sons and daughters, it's almost like running directly into him. It's mind-blowing. Their soundness of doctrine, their faith, how they speak and handle themselves. Because if you think I'm Apostle John's spiritual son, well, and the next thing you know, I'm acting like a raging lunatic. That's not a good representation. People's going to think, that dude ain't no count. But here's the thing. You are representing Christ, whether you know it or not. And some of you are looking for promotion or you're looking for breakthrough, and you're simply not representing Him the way that you're supposed to. You represent Christ to your children. Come on. If you don't want to come here and worship and they watch that, they won't worship. Mommy, Daddy don't do it, I ain't going to do it. Come on. You at home talking about everybody? Same thing for them. I am representing Christ everywhere I go. When John called me son, he says, I'm going to allow you to represent me. Why are you staying on this? Because it's huge. Because people miss it. And we go out in public or we're presented with tough situations and we just want to act a fool. Well, we forget. And really all it does is show your maturity and show you're not where you think you are. Amen. A representative, let me give you a quick definition. It is a person chosen or appointed to act or speak for another or others in particular. Amen. I will. It is a person chosen or appointed to act or speak for another or others in particular. When you first get saved, he's not going to choose you to be a representative. It might start out on a small level, but you have to work your way up. Even John, I was with him last Friday, and we spent the evening together. Of course, he's still John. And he said, you're mature. I like your character, but I'm interested to see how you return after speaking to 15,000 people a night in Sierra Leone. We'll see if you're mature enough to be that kind of representative. That's what he was saying. Come on. Oh, if you're like me, if you're a dreamer, you first got saved and you saw it, you saw the masses and you saw the crowds and you thought, oh man, and he's just giving you a glimpse of what's down the road. I have to walk it out. I have to step it out. You have to be faithful for 2 or 3 years preaching to the same 10 or 15 people. If Doyle's watching, he can probably give me an amen. You have to be faithful over those little things and be a good representative there before you that you can do more. When you see someone in big ministry that has a big moral failure, the bottom line was this, is they didn't have the character and they weren't mature enough to handle the ministry that was set before them. Don't be too hard on them. They just got promoted somewhere that they wasn't supposed to be. And I had this one opportunity and I had to walk away from it. God, I could have preached to all over. I could be traveling the world. Walk away from it. It presents itself again a year later. Walk away from it. God, but you don't understand. This could be a real open door. It's the vision. It's everything that I've saw. Walk away from it. Go hide yourself. Go hide away. Go hide away. And it presents itself a third time. Go hide away. And actually, when it presented itself again, I wasn't going to step through it. I thought he'd just tell me to go hide away again. He let me do it this time, you know? Amen. We have to be loyal. We have to be that representative person. Are you enjoying this? I'm enjoying teaching it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 19 through 22, I'm about to close. Paul says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may also be encouraged by learning news about you. For I have no one else like him who is so kindred a spirit, who will be genuinely concerned for your spiritual welfare. We're seeing a glimpse. Huh? Why was he sending Timothy? Huh? He was a kindred spirit. I'm going to get it out. I got so much on my mind I want to get out here. And Amy's like, quit stuttering. He was a kindred spirit, but he was sending him as a representative person. Right? It says, "For the others who deserted me after my arrest, all seek to advance their own interests, but not those of Jesus Christ." He says, "But you know of Timothy's tested worth and his proven character, that he has served with me to advance the gospel like a son serving with his father." Wow. Some of you are saying, "I didn't even know that was in there." Well, it's in there. Do you see what Paul has to say about Timothy? And this is why he said, "You know, I'm not going to allow any of these older guys that don't have the heart you have to disrespect you. So don't just go around and say, 'Well, I'm young, they're hating on me.'" That's not what Paul was saying. He was saying, "I know this guy. His character's been tested. He's a representative for me. He has my heart. He has the father heart of God. He is a spiritual son to me. So I'm not going to let you jokers disrespect him. We're going to not let them despise you. So don't just go around just because you're young thinking people's hating on you. You might be young and you're acting young and people's calling you out." Number one, Paul was sure of Timothy's loyalty when he sent him to the Philippians. He was sure of it. He wasn't going to release Timothy to do anything till he was sure of it. Now the thing of it is this is years. We kind of get record of Paul's ministry being 30-some years before he was martyred. But we don't know. We could probably look at some timeline and see exactly how long he walked with Timothy, but I guarantee it wasn't 6 months. I guarantee it wasn't a year. Because, well, let's look at it naturally. I spoke over the dear lady that's not here this morning, but I said, Paul said, "I know your grandmother, and I know your mother, and I know you." We can see something about this relationship, can't we? He wasn't just a hireling. "Hey, man, I know your family. I know what kind of lineage you come from. I know how you've been walking with me. Now I'm going to let you be a representative. Can we pick up on what it is to be a son or a daughter? If you like to have roast pasture, you're so far away from being a son or a daughter, you're light years away from it. Because here's what Paul said. "I was in prison, and the ones that were calling me spiritual papa, they deserted me. But you stuck around." Well, what was the thing? Well, let's look at it from the natural. Paul was all that in a bag of chips. He was founding churches of hundreds of thousands of people. He was founding them everywhere he went. And so he would have been, you know, the Dutch Sheets of that time. And so everybody would have wanted to be connected to him. But when he got imprisoned and he couldn't be out there being all that, everybody else said, I'm going to find me somebody else that can promote me. But Paul said, hey, listen, in my worst times, Timothy, you're still here with me. They've talked about me. You wouldn't listen to it. They've run me down. You wouldn't agree with them. You stood by me. You defended me. And now I'm going to let you be a representative of me. See, you're being tested and you don't even realize it. There's opportunities before you of maybe how you don't like the church or this or that, and you're falling right for it. And Daddy God up in heaven's making a count saying, they're not there. I can't promote them. Let's look at the natural. Did we think this was all going to be cupcakes and lollipops when we merged these two churches together? Did we think, oh, we're just going to do something grand and it's going to be real easy, now let's just run with it? It doesn't work that way. There's going to be a season of testing for the sons and the daughters and for the leadership and the eldership to say, how are we going to handle when the chatter starts and when the backbiting starts and when people say, I don't like this and I don't like that? It's an opportunity for you to show loyalty and mature faith and be a representative of Father's House International Church. Amen? Now, I probably just lost all the offering on that one. Number two, the tendency for disloyalty has been eliminated from the heart fully. They have been turned to a father in the faith through the process of deliverance from the orphan, independent spirit. Oh. Excuse me? The tendency for disloyalty has been eliminated from the heart entirely. There's even no question. Even if you come to me with something about John Paulus and you was just sure of it, I would say, I don't believe you. Sorry. Go take that garbage somewhere else. This conversation's over. Amen? Then they have been turned to a father in the faith. Okay? Through the process of deliverance from the orphan independent spirit. If you can't even jive with having a spiritual head, whether it be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother, if that doesn't even reason in you, you are an independent orphan. Yeah. Well, don't look at that like that's some sort of bad thing. It's just people that when their parents raised them, it was done in such a way that they're not going to listen to anything that you have to say. I can do it on my own. I make all this money. I'll show everybody. Man, the bottom line is this. Everyone in here, I don't care how mature in the faith you are, I don't care if you've arrived yet, but you need somebody in your life to help you see your blind spots. We all do. We all do. We look through the scriptures, Paul was sent out. There was a presbytery that was over him. Amen? When we have that orphan independent spirit, we are a self-representer. Yeah. Have you ever run into somebody that was doing great things and they just told you all the stuff they was doing great? I mentioned a couple things, but I want to talk about John this morning. How great he is. Amen? It's not about I. I don't need to represent myself. I represent others and God will have others that represent me. It's just how it works. No self-promotion. It says the big eye of pride has been cut off at the root. What replaces the eye, the big eye and pride? It's replaced by love and trust in a relationship. If you have trust issues, you have independence issues. If you have issues trying to love people, you have orphan independent issues. I'm sorry. I can't trust that person. You're independent. Well, I've trusted and they did this. It doesn't matter. You got to still keep trusting. That way you know when the right one comes into your life. Amen? Number three, God's will has been achieved in the Father-Son relationship. When we get to the heart of a son, maturity has come, and Christ has been formed. Remember last week I talked about Christ being formed in you? Christ has been fully formed in you. You now have a holy, humble, caring, and loyal heart. It's evident. It's evident that you have these attributes. And now you're ready to be a father or a mother to others. Amen.